has a calling. A young man that has an apostolic calling. And this young man has been laboring, trying to find his footing in the call. And so many terrible things have happened to this young man in his quest towards aligning with the call of God. And the Lord said that the young man will come into this meeting this evening. And that young man, because I sense he's already here, the hand of God will come upon you. And it will remain on you for 3 days. On the strength of the cloud of the glory of God that will descend upon your life, a new dealing will begin. And God will suck you into his presence. And then he will begin to instruct you. And then you'll find out the reason for which you suffered all that you suffered that you cannot explain. Matthew chapter 6. You may wish to turn verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. After this manner. He didn't say pray this prayer. He said after this manner, pray. Then he said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallelujah. First of all, when we look at this scripture, no, you don't need the next verse. We will not be able to exhaust this verse. Are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
Stay with me.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I said we'll do Bible study for 35 minutes. So, for this period of time, just stay with me. This is Jesus responding to a request that the disciples made. Teach us how to pray as John taught his disciples. So in their request, the reference that was made was John's ministry. That in John's ministry there was some kind of devotion. And since we showed up here, we have not seen that kind of devotion in our fold. Is it not needful for us to bring into this fold several things that we have seen in the ministry of John? So the request was coming from a reference. Hallelujah. So this is Jesus' response. When he figured that they were desperate to be taught on how to take advantage of the resources that are available in the spirit realm, they put forth that request. And this is Jesus responding to the request. Now the first question is, why is it that Jesus waited for a request to come for capacity building in the area of prayer before he began to unfold the issues pertaining to prayer? Now, I found out in my practice of ministry that if you teach people prayer, people that don't intend to pray, and you spend time teaching them about prayer, it's a wasted effort. And so Jesus decided to wait until there was an appetite to communicate. And then he rose up. You could see he already had a blueprint, so he was not going to meditate on the issue. He already had it penned down, the sequence, the pattern, the orientation that must be sustained. And it was in that atmosphere that he began this download. After this manner, pray. First of all, he started with our Father. indicative of the fact that, you see, God has many sides. He's an immortal personality. And his revelations, since he's not a created being, his revelations are from everlasting to everlasting. When we go into eternity, eternity is not sufficient for us to capture all of God. Because he's an eternal personality and immortal, there is no end to the revelation of him. So when we go to the Old Testament, for instance, you find many metaphors that were used to depict various manifestations of God. However, on the subject of prayer, Jesus revealed the fact that your prayer enterprise will prosper to the degree to which you have known God as Father. Unfortunately, you are not likely to prosper much from your prayer endeavor until you have gained critical revelation of God in his Father mode. Now, stay with me. Because someone here might say, I'm a father myself. So my being a father will afford me some opportunities to understand God the Father. I beg to differ with you. Hallelujah. Now, are you with me? You know, Jesus said, if you, referring to you and me, if you, that was Jesus in an attempt to carry out a comparison, a contrast and a comparison. And he said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Are you with me? That means from Jesus' perspective, your model of fatherhood, as wonderful as it is, if it's compared to God, you are evil. Meanwhile, you're being evil does not stop you from giving good things to your children. Are you with me? He said, how much more? In greater measure than you will your heavenly Father. So there is a dimension of fatherhood that we cannot approximate unto. It is God's exclusive reserve. It is from that vintage point that we can understand the prosecution of prayer. You need to go beyond the father model of mortal men to understand that fatherhood that God sustains. That's going to be the operating system that will drive effective prayer. Are you with me? I think I need to pick out another scripture to help us in this journey. Can we do... So I picked that from Matthew chapter 7 verse 11. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? Now, I also need to take you to another scripture before I come back to Matthew chapter 6. The next question we need to ask quickly is, okay, we need to know the Father. We need to sustain a revelation of God as Father in order for us to effectively prosecute the art of prayer. I think I need to move us to Matthew chapter 11 so that we'll understand how to access accurately who the Father is. Because there's only one chaptered personality that can reveal the Father. The Father is revealed. Are you there in Matthew chapter 11 verse 27? Please help me. Matthew 11 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. It means there's only one chartered personality that knows the Father, the Son. And if we are going to understand who the Father is, we will need to take into inventory every disclosure that the Son made about the Father. That is going to give us an insight into who the Father is, and on the strength of each strand of insight that Jesus revealed about his Father, dimensions of prayer and possibilities of fellowshipping with God are unveiled in those disclosures. Now, if you want to go deep with God, God is a spirit. And what we are seeing here is a revelator. Jesus occupies the capacity of a revelator. And until we glean upon that which Jesus has revealed about his Father, we are going to have a challenge in prosecuting the art of prayer. Your prayer life will not be an adventure. It is intended that your prayer engagements will be an adventure of a pilgrim that is detached from this age, seeking reinforcement and support systems from his true nation on how to navigate through this bedeviled age and through this darkened planet. It's supposed to be an adventure. Something that you cannot do effectively without adequate illumination. And that's why we need the ministry of the revelator. Let me stop there. There's an interest that I have in the book of Matthew chapter 6 verse 9. There's an interest. And my interest is not who the Father is today. Maybe if the Lord permits, we'll dwell on that tomorrow. But my interest here, because there are three layers in this scripture that I will hope that we will have time enough to prosecute, the three layers of Matthew chapter 6 verse 19. The first layer is what I'm trying to handle, which has to do with the revelation of God as Father. If the Lord gives us permission, we'll look at that. The second layer happens to be that our Father is domiciled in a place. And the place where our Father is domiciled is going to affect your engagement and the way he responds to you. He happens to be operating from heaven, not from Oshodi. Because he is operating from heaven, the only link to heaven is his spirit. And so the way a spirit responds when you are making a demand on him is different. And you must master it. If not, you'll be looking for what is not lost. You will be praying when he has already answered. Because our Father is not in Boko, our Father is in heaven. Now, there are dynamics that accompany that particular disclosure. We will need to understand the modality, the operation of the spirit of witness. Because 70% of the communication of God is not in words. And these are the difficulties we are going to have if we are trying to do business with a Father who is domiciled in heaven. If the Lord permits, we'll check and see the implication of the location where our Father is operating from. And why it seems that there are several Christians that seem to be praying. They are doing something like prayer. But after many years, if anything, they became victims of demonic attack. It's not because they were communicating to a God that was deaf, but they do not know the God they are speaking to. The third part of the disclosure in Matthew chapter 6 verse 9 is my emphasis for the night. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The aspect of his name is my emphasis for the night. And I'd like us to journey gradually for 35 minutes. On the strength of that revelation, we'll raise prayer. As the prayer is ascending, God will be descending. If you pray right, he comes. If you know how to read his responses as a being of heaven, he will understand that he did not intend life to be as difficult as we have it today. It's a robust infrastructure designed in the spirit to carry you and to carry me. If only we know how to intercept with those realities. Now, from Jesus' presentation, he says, hallowed be thy name, that the name of the Lord be hallowed. And I was wondering why Jesus had to add that as the manner in which prayer should be viewed. Are you with me? Because he said, after this manner. Why is it that Jesus added the need to hallow the name of God? Now, the reason is because every revelation, every disclosure, every manifestation of God that was ever made in the Old Testament was encapsulated, was trapped in a name. And there are 12 major revelations of God that exist through the span of the Old Testament. 12 major revelations of God. And each such major disclosure of God was identified with a name. The reason why Israel was forced to develop a science in their engagement with God was because they were a nation that had posterity in view, and they wanted to trap every dimension of God that they had interfaced with, so that another generation will know that there is such a heritage that exists among the people of God. And the way they did that was that they identified every manifestation of God and trapped it in a name. Now, come with me. For instance, if God shows up today and there are sick people and he breaks out with healing, the Jews will call that manifestation of him Ralpha. So it is in the archives. If a generation comes, and even though God didn't heal that generation, they still know that their God heals, because it was trapped, that dimension was trapped in a name. Are you with me? Now, so Jesus says, the name of the Lord must be exalted, because in them lies, what? The revelations of the manifestation of God. That's the journey I would like us to make. The journey of unsealing these names and touching the revelation that the names encapsulate, so that we can enter into the reality of those revelations that were encapsulated in the names that the manifestations of God was given. Are you with me? All right. Still in our Bible study, I would like us to proceed to Exodus. Sometimes you need depth to contend with the devil. There were several things I discovered not on the table of Bible study. In the field of missions, when Satan was looking for someone desperately to kill, there were some discoveries that were made at that level. Preservative discoveries. Alright. In the book of Exodus chapter 6, I'd like us to see. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am Jehovah. I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, by my name, the El Shaddai. But by my name, Jehovah, I was not known to them. See, the situation on ground demanded that God would deliver upon the terms of the covenant he has cut with their ancestors. Consistent with that covenant, there is a dimension of manifestation that he will have to bring to the table. And this prophet that was standing for him in the natural had to go through some major education for him to come up to speed with the technology that God was about to deploy. However, he was made to understand, Moses was made to understand that it was not because he was prayerful that God came for him. That all the manipulations taking place that suggested that he will be an instrument, a law enforcement agent that will be used by God to bring about the deliverables that were captured in the covenant was because of ancient promises he made with the ancestors of the land. There was an operating system that he was going to be running on, the Jehovah system. However, the foundation of that system was in the revelation that his ancestors had. And if you have not yet understood God as the El Shaddai, you can't know him as Jehovah. Now, you see, you can jump classes in secular school. Maybe because you made an A. Says, okay, from class 4, you go to class 6 straight. But in the spirit, you can't jump classes. There's so much for you to know in the spirit. And there's so little time for you to know it. And so because of that, we'll need to inherit some other people's labors. You don't have enough time to learn all the things you need to know. So inheritance must be factored into this matter. And that's why Jesus said, I've called you to reap where you have not sown. I've called you to straw where you have not bestowed labor. It's only in inheritance that that is a possibility. Some people want to labor all the way. Yeah, that option is available. But this man was going to operate on a spiritual principle of inheritance. Meanwhile, as wonderful as inheritance is, he cannot function in it if he's ignorant of the foundation, the structure that gave birth to the possibilities that God is about to deploy. I restricted my identity as Jehovah, but I restricted that dimension because your ancestors had to go to the school of El Shaddai first. It took 3 generations for him to establish the revelation of El Shaddai as a heritage in the house of Israel. Now, check your own family. What revelations have been established? Don't think you will jump. No, there are foundational things that must be established before other things can find expression. If not, the priesthood of that family will never show. You know, like the sons of Issachar, they had a family grace. Your family also was designed with a priesthood, and there is a grace that will support it. Yes. Most of those families that had the strongest Ifa priests, let me stop there. Those guys were either ordained to be apostles or prophets. They pioneered pathways in the spirit realm. That the mast that God released for them, the network that was used to operate the mast happened to be demonic frequency. It's not as if the devil created the mast. It is just a situation of a perverted calling. And until men of sufficient stature that understand the building blocks in the spirit, find expression, patterns, cycles, flows, things that are generational in nature that are contradictory to the word of God will yet find expression. So we seek men of sufficient stature that will be willing to carry the burden of walking under the influence of the government of God, sufficient for them to come into the mold of destiny. And I'm not just speaking English. For Abraham, the arrangement by ordination from the quarters of the immortals was that he could not become what God wanted him to become except he operates by faith. Are you with me? Meanwhile, he tried many other options. The options didn't work. So he had to come back. The situations were orchestrated to make him a certain kind of man. And except he becomes that man, he will never touch destiny. Are you still with me? Because I'd like to show you something. What I call secondary level operation. Are you aware that your prayer is as potent to the degree to which it is aligned with the will of God? Is that true? And that means prayer is not powerful. What is powerful is the will of God. You are not. Are you? That means there is a civilization that is superior to our civilization, even in the new creation. The immortals are the ones that have a will. Your own place is to align with the will. You can't create it. And the more you live outside of it and fool yourself that we can make something happen. Are you with me? No, our life is derived. You are not original. He created us after a certain image and likeness to lock you down so that the only usefulness you have is in that system. Are you with me? Now, so we are given to secondary level oppression. So your prayer is not as powerful as you think. It's only powerful if it synchronizes with ordination. Just like the exercise of your faith. Because many of us, like me, I went to a car shop. I saw a BMW blue in color. And we just finished Bible school lecture. And the lecturer said, if English means anything, whosoever can get whatsoever. And he had scriptures that were confined, not scriptures that carried the texture of the will of God on this subject running through the entire scripture. So he stayed in that crucible and came up with the principle. And then we left the lecture looking for things. We're looking for where to manifest faith. Hallelujah. My own adventure took me to the car shop. And I saw a vehicle. And I believed it. That nobody will buy that vehicle until I get money. That was it. There was grace, and the vehicle was sold. It was the only vehicle that was sold. Why? Because I was not operating secondary level oppression. The Holy Spirit will not be willing to furnish faith if what you are believing for is not consistent with His program, His will, and His timing, and His place. Because it's secondary level oppression. Moses was not that powerful. What made him powerful are the ordinations that have been disclosed to him at this point. The greatest privilege that God gave us is to participate in schemes that were established before time began. Things that were concluded in God before God began creation. I don't have time to take us. No time. Because destiny reaches back into the past before it goes into the future. Before you can proceed into the future adequately, you must see the heart of God. It is that which is settled in the heart of God that cannot be challenged by principalities and powers. And once you secure it, even though principalities want to manipulate your senses to think that that which you secured is not possible, a true man of faith knows that all of these things are temporal. When the classification was done of who fathers were, of who sons were, and of who little children were, the book of 1 John, it says, I write unto you fathers, because you have known the Father. I write unto you fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. That's what establishes a man's feet in the earth. Because what he captured was sustained on the heart of God before time began. So destiny goes, reaches into the heart of God before it finds expression in the future. And these discoveries that Moses was making were things that were settled in heaven. Now, there was no way he was going to fulfill his destiny if these disclosures did not come to him. He heard the story of his ancestors, but he did not understand their dealings with God. It took the immortal to bring him up to speed in a refresher course. See, the situation demands that I respond to your fathers. And you have been chosen from among your people to stand before me. Not because you are a prayer warrior. But an act of my sovereignty I chose you. So don't think you are too special. I'm the one that is special. And because I have adopted you now, you will shine. Are you with me? Now you don't need to look for extra shining. It is in that ordination. There's an allocation. There's an allocation for shining there. That God has already... Hallelujah. You see... let me stop there. I've learned hard lessons working with God. Hard lessons. Well, I read it in the scripture, but I did not take it seriously. Because the way our salvation was procured, for instance, there is no allowance for mortal kind to boast. So God took responsibility for it. He didn't make provision for boasting. He didn't make provision for the flesh to pride itself. Now, I did not know that it was a crime for you to be a recipient of this great salvation that we have received, and then you allow pride. There's no place for that there. And the Holy Ghost, through the verdict of the cross, can administer 12 years of dealings on your life just for you to enter into the economy of one lesson that no flesh might boast. That's the whole thing. See, immortals don't operate from time so they can sit down and deal. They are patient. You are the one running for time. You need to get married. Your biological time clock is... Oh my God, I'm late. You will remain on a spot until you understand the will of the immortals. Their teaching aid is dealings. And the cross is the legal premise that permits the Holy Ghost to administer that kind of dealing. And when a spirit, I hope you know, the flesh is ancient. It's only God himself that can fight it. I hope you know that. It's ancient. Oh my God. So the Holy Ghost orchestrates circumstances and situations that will imprison you so that your confidence in that thing that you trusted, he will weary it through circumstances and situations. And when you say, ah, I am done, that's when you become useful. Because a spirit is involved. You think that you are doing something. After 5 years, you discover you are not doing anything. And what you are doing is just learning a lesson. And he will not tell you plainly, he will tell you experientially. So that it will become as much a part of you as your own beating heart. And you will never forget it. Don't think that this disclosure that came to Moses, don't think it came on the platter of gold. He had tried many things, this man, before this time. And then the disclosures began to come. I'm talking about disclosures that have an experiential apparatus attached to it. And when it is done, you can never forget that lesson. That's how spirits teach. May the Lord give you understanding. In order for Moses to be able to handle this insight, he had to be brought through memory lane and the dealings of his ancestors. He had to know so that the things that God has secured through those dealings, he will not lose in his time. Because if he loses them in his time, what God will do, he will stop the program and then reteach him the previous lessons. And many of us are going through classes that were added to us by inheritance, that we did not learn properly. And we see a lot of people going through the motion and going through the cycle. It's just because we did not lay to heart the previous lessons that have been established in the body of Christ. Now, this man was going to be God's law enforcement agent. I'd like us to see the things he had to be armed with before the Jehovah dimension was disclosed. Turn with me, finally, to the book of Genesis. Chapter 17. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, you know, the time God encountered him, he was 70 years old. How come God waited for how many years there? 29 years. And he left him. Because he still had confidence in the flesh. Right, this one will be too hard, so let's leave it. When Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to him. It was not prayer. He was not praying. He was not trying to connect God. God came by himself to him, appeared to him, and said unto him, I am El Shaddai. That's my identity. That's the name that I want you to know me by. However, you have a responsibility now that I've disclosed my identity to you. Your responsibility is to walk before me in the light of this revelation. When you have done that successfully, verse 2 says, I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. Now, there's a certain kind of man that God can make a covenant with. He would have to go through the requirement of becoming perfect with the revelation El Shaddai. When he has perfected to walk before God in the light of that revelation, God will now cut covenant with him. So the covenant that God wanted to execute, for which he recruited Moses, this is the foundation. And Moses will be given to Foley If he doesn't understand that this is the foundation for that which he will be operating in. And that's the reason why the historical perspective was disclosed. Don't forget where we started. Our Father, which art in heaven, what? The El Shaddai. We're talking about the strong. The multi-breasted. The ones that sustains all. But yet is sustained by none. He's the reason why we are existing. Because he is existence himself. And the scripture says, just in case he decides to withdraw his breath, everything would disintegrate. So we are living off his excesses. Even Satan is sustained by his excesses. Satan is surviving on the excesses of Jehovah. Because if he decides to withdraw his breath, everything will turn back to how it was in the beginning. Because the Bible says he upholds everything by the word of his power. Now that's not the kind of being that humankind is used to. Because we were created insufficient. Hallelujah. Your insufficiency is the basis of the relevance of the devil. And your insufficiency is the reason for which God gave us the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible says that it's the Spirit that helpeth our infirmities. That means, and infirmities is in plural. That means there are many. We are a bag of infirmities. And that's how we're created. Are you with me? I know you went to Harvard. And your certificate makes you think that you are competent. You can survive. You got a master's degree from Oxford and then you stopped by Harvard. The witches of Jebo, they can humble you. Meanwhile, it will be in God's interest for you to be brought to that level where you see your futility even with the certificate. It's in God's interest. The cross has already provided a platform. Because the cross happens to be the great divide between the two creations. And anything that will go from this old creation to the new will pass through the cross. And the cross has only one verdict: death. So you still have confidence in something that is in the old creation. Namely your certificate. And it is in God's interest for you to be brought to a startling realization of the incapacity that you yet sustain even with that. Your status have not changed just because you have that physical thing. Your infirmities still abide with you. And if you are going to walk with the El Shaddai, the all-sufficient, the one that helps infirmities, it's not something you can come and pick up from Bible study. And then you think you know the El Shaddai. The El Shaddai can only be known experientially, unfortunately. Now, the knowledge of God we are talking about here is not cognitive, it's not mental. We are talking about an experiential encounter that you have had with God that is the basis of your faith in Him. Faith is not intellectual. It's a spirit-based reality. And the more encounters you have, the more you will know that God does not fail. Meanwhile, because we were created with infirmities, the devil has a very good ground to do business with mortal kind. For instance, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. But in what? All things, through prayer and supplication, coupled with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. The Bible says in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, that he spake a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And in the whole scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, there is no time, scriptures use the word prayerless. Because the opposite of a praying man is not a prayerless man. Hallelujah. The opposite of a praying man is a fainting man. He speak a parable to this end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's the opposite of a praying man. He's a fainting man. Now, and I need to tell us what fainting is. When fainting is a situation when an individual becomes a victim of anxiety. That's why it says be anxious. The same things that will make you anxious are the same things that should make you prayerful. So you are either prayerful or a victim of what? Anxiety. Now, that thing that will make you prayerful is not because pastor taught us in Bible study that we should pray. No. That's information. Are you with me? It's not, you don't survive on information. Just like 9 o'clock news did not change your life. It's information. It's through experiential realities that we are established in the spirit. You know that the spirit helps your infirmity, but you will not look for him. You will not look for him because it is more natural for you to reach out to the resources of the flesh that are around your life. You have known those support systems for so long, and it's alien for you to want to reach out from your crucible to attempt believing in what you have not tried. So ranking is more by experience than cognitive information. Because our infirmity and infirmities, as the case may be, runs deep. And that's how God designed us. Many people do not yet know that the status of their incapacity. And that's why they will not trust God. They still believe they can get by. And sometimes the devil can help you believe it by making things to be working initially so that you can be in a position where you'll be completely snared. Our generation is without experience. The God of the Bible is no longer known. Meanwhile, you need to travel sometimes to northern Nigeria and see the impact of the beast of reckless wickedness that is galloping southward. Everybody is still doing business as usual because we have not heard the war cry. We have not seen the graph of how many women have become widows in the past 5 years. What I came to tell us is that we don't have a choice anymore but to seek for depth in God. This revelation, guess what Abraham did? Because God, this revelation, we're trying to put it into time. And we did some calculations, and what we came up with was that God, Abraham monopolized God for 24 hours in this disclosure. I am the El Shaddai. Walk thou before me and be thou. And I will establish a covenant between me and you. After this glorious presentation that was not occasioned by prayer, the next thing the man did in subsequent chapters was that his wife came and sold the Hagar idea to him, and he bought it instantly. It took 24 hours for God to make his claims. It took a moment for him to accept a carnal option. Because that's how every normal human being will do. Every normal human being will go that way. Because he has not yet perfected the revelation of the El Shaddai. So he will behave like a human being. You will go naturally, when you are under pressure, you go naturally towards the direction of your physical support system. Nobody will opt for faith. Normally, we enter into the faith life as last resort when God has followed us aggressively and ensured that everything we leaned on fell off. Then just before the winter comes, we say, what did you say the last time you came again? You will need to become perfect before I will establish a covenant with you. You know, he went the way of Hagar. That took so many years. And God said, okay, well, since you are still powerful, we'll give you time. I'm not lacking in time at all. So we'll give you time. So he could still produce children, you know, all kinds of stuff. And all that was still going on. But the purpose of God for his life was kept on hold. Because the immortals were determined that except he walks before God and becomes perfect, the next chapter will never open. So they allowed him to try. The ancestors of Boko Haram and all the other troubles were produced. He never knew he carried the seed of greatness, that anything that came from him must be great. Whether it is cursed, it will be cursed greatness. That was his DNA. He didn't know what power he was carrying. So there were so many mistakes. So many options. Until he came to a point where his barren wife was declared menopause status. She was barren as a teenager and now had entered into menopause, and he himself, his body became dead. And God was still speaking about that son of covenant. He had presented God with so many options, and then he discovered to his greatest dismay that God is not a God of options. He's a God of ordination. He can wait until the end of time. When you enter into the purpose of God deeply, you will now discover that, it was you he was waiting for. He will show you there are many signs that will reveal to you that if he were looking for another person, it would have happened. But he was waiting for you to come. That's an ordination. It means the immortals put their hand on you when you were yet a seed of eternity. They will wait until he comes by. That's how destiny is. The power that drives it is strong. And it's a privilege to serve the will of God. When his body was dead and his barren wife had entered into menopause, the options were no longer many. God streamlined the possibilities to one. Then he was willing to explore the supernatural. Are you still with me? If you are willing this night to explore the supernatural, if you have come to realize that in your natural strength you only attain to your least potential, but in the spirit you attain to your greatest potential, and you want to explore the supernatural, if that's why you came, the curve of your life will begin to change from this night. Because, oh my, you don't know how many men died in my family. And there's a wind that blows. When it blows, it takes three people. Every man had to go his own separate ways in search of power. So the options were not many. It's either you find God or die. So I was willing to wait for God. I was willing. Because there was nothing to fall back on. I saw my dad die. as if it had no covering. And I needed to go beyond philosophy to touch the reality of God. Not so that I can be an evangelist on a crusade field, but so that I will survive and live a normal life. You don't need a textbook to know that there was a living creature that was bloodthirsty that lurked among my people. We learned how to pray in the night. Because that's the only way we felt normal. After a good dose of prayer. And Jehovah was there. And he allowed the attack. Because it was a good motivation. To move you to where you need to be so that you can achieve alignment. I know you run to pastor, say, "Oh, let's pray." Sometimes it won't work. Just like I prayed for many people. God, it didn't work. Because we operate on the secondary level. The immortals are the ones that set the course of ordinations, the orbitals of destiny. I was willing to pray. Pray in the night. I'm fast too. My stomach was flat to the back. I could do 265 out of 365 days. I stayed awake in the night more than I slept for many years. I thought I was looking for safety. It's a good motivation. It was wonderful. Hallelujah. Very wonderful motivation, but that was not what God had in mind. Meanwhile, the immortals have set up a line that I must cross. And if I can't cross it, they'll wait for my son. And if my son can't cross it, they'll wait for his own son. And if he cannot cross, they don't have a time challenge. When you say 10-year challenge, 25 years challenge, they are the challenge themselves. So sometimes he allows the walls so that he constrains you because he knows you are full of ideas. You invent something now, so he cripples you. Then he puts you on pause, on slow motion. And that time when your understanding becomes totally unfruitful, that's when he's working the most. Just like he had to make Zacharias dumb so that he would not say something that would destroy the plan of God. Puts you in a state of total ignorance of what he's doing so that you will not just wake up and use your mouth and say some things and then complicate matters. So he suspends your mind. And then you cannot make a science out of his dealings. He is most powerful in such times. Because you cannot have spiritual experience when your mind is in front. He will suspend it, put it behind. So that you can have a holistic encounter. Sometimes it takes 6 months for you to have an encounter that your mind can understand. Sometimes it takes 2 years. Because the encounter will make you a different creature. A different kind of man. And many of you are in transition. And you are fighting the process. Meanwhile, God is roaming around from city to city looking for sons for the kingdom. Men that have seen the options that this world has to offer. But yet, they press into the spirit realm so that they can be part of the infrastructure that God will use to implement his agenda. Hallelujah. So Abraham came to that point where his understanding was totally unfruitful as to what God was doing and what was happening around his life. Hallelujah. That was when he was able to wait long enough for him to see how the womb of a barren woman that is in menopause can receive seed at old age and bring forth a son. That was when he could learn the lesson that was contrary to tradition. How that God can revive the body of a man that is dead. Abraham entered into another dimension of civilization on the account of this encounter that he went through. He now knew the God that can raise the dead. And the God that can call those things as that be not as though they were. He will not know that God in Bible study. He knew something that could not be taught and something that cannot be learned. It was after that this man earned three titles. Became the father of faith, became the friend of God, and the father of many nations. The Christians, the Jews, and the Muslims claim him to be their ancestor. In fact, Paul did a research on him in the book of Romans chapter 4. Help me. Romans chapter 4. There was a research proposal that Paul was working on. Where are you? Romans. Is this Romans 4? Oh my. This is his proposal. He said, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, pertaining to the flesh, had found? What exactly? What did he find that made him a man of so much stature in the spirit? Abraham became a subject of research many generations later. Today, even the covenant that brought us redemption actually operated upon the agreement that him and God made. These were men that were able to mount altars and cut covenants in the spirit and affect the way God would deal with people. Now, we seek men of sufficient stature that will arise and change the way God will deal with your family because of the things you have done. If somebody is called from that lineage, God will have to take him through some tutorials and say, there was a young man called Jide. I came back now, but not because you people are praying. I came back because of the agreement I made with Jide. So the way God will relate with that family is because there was a man called Jide. That man has been immortalized. Time cannot define him. The things he did, they are still held, frozen in eternity. And God will need to look at them before he comes into the earth again. Give me volume there. I live another woman. I learned how to pray. And for many years, I did not see the answers to the prayers I prayed. But you know what? I continued praying. Yes, I was not praying for answers. I was praying because it was good to pray. I felt ventilated. I felt alive. If I stopped praying, death had already casted a shadow and was waiting for a time to make a full embrace. So I prayed to live. I prayed to stay alive. So I was not praying for answers. I was not asking for breakthrough. I was in a warfare that I was born into. And I wasn't even briefed on how it started. I didn't have the opportunity to choose sides. You must have seen my face. Never closed this eye before. I was born with facial palsy. They struck me right from the womb. I saw many beautiful ladies I didn't defile anyone. You know why? The battle. Eh? You are not aware of. My ancestors were faithful to Satan. They had the righteousness of witchcraft. You are not with me. They won't take a woman that is not their own. It will make them vulnerable. That's how they serve Satan. Oh, they were necromancers. They could do something here now. Okay, let's say there's a land dispute. His family and my family has a land dispute. And then he's saying that my grandfather sold the land to his own grandfather. Huh? That's not the case. They will invoke the spirit of his own grandfather and my own. Everybody here will be hearing them talk. And just in case you were alive when they were dead, it's their voice that they'll be using. Familiar spirits from the ends of the earth. Masquerading. There is no way you will believe any other thing when you see those kind of things. And just in case you want to fight them. That means you don't drink water. And don't let your foot never touch the ground. Because once you drink water, they have seen you. Once your feet, if you like, you are in Las Vegas. I lay mama yena. Amena koreme. Anaina. Ena sainamo. I learned how to pray in tongues and to sing. Aye na na koma. Aye wo. Aye ni me. I can be doing this thing till tomorrow. Aye na na mo me. Do you know shortly before we met, I was still fighting that battle? On the 20th day of October 2002, Jesus came into my room. That's out of the darkness. I thought it was for 5 minutes. But when I checked the clock, it was actually 3 hours. I saw what the Bible means when scripture says, for thine is the kingdom, for thine is the power. I saw it. I saw the power, and darkness began to fold up like a pack of cards. A new horizon began to open. Oh. You know, the Bible says saviors will come from Zion. Hallelujah. Instantly, things began to change. That's when I discovered that all the prayers that were being invested over 1 decade, 10 years, they were not wasted. If you have not prayed for 10 years, don't complain that God has not answered you. If you have not given sacrificially for 10 years, you don't even know what giving is. Somebody in the hall is complaining that he has been waiting on God and God has not come. Shut up. It was when the Lord came that the Lord began to speak. Oh, Sanina Moro Senia Gaila Mama. Oh, Samina Nanemo. Samina, Somina, Brandema, Zaina, Nana, Mama, Samina, Zaina, Mamo, Oh, Samina, Sina, Kamana, Ema Sandamo, Ema Sandamo, Samina, Saila, Brandama, Combele. Hema branda mo, hema branda mo. Oh, samina, Brian la mama ye kosama. Hela brande, hela brande. Hey! Oh, samina, brasena hanama. Hema sande. Walk thou before me and be thou perfect, for I am the El Shaddai, I am the all-sufficient one, I sustain all, but I'm sustained by none. He calls you tonight. He calls you tonight. Obre sige balanto, mebro kamaisa malaya. Oh, mama. It's about to open the door, and all things will change. All things will change. All things will change. You've been waiting, you've been crying, you've been calling upon the name of God. He comes. Will you be standing when he comes? Will you be on your knees when he comes? Will you be where he said you should be when he comes? It's not about changing the idea, changing the formula. You need to wait on him. Come on, Samina Kambra Saila. Aila! Aila! Maya, koma, koma la balade, ma balade, koma yeda. Shanina Kena Boletabo Mamani Amahailama Samene Kela Bo Mama Bo Mama Halaha. Yeah, Sigale Broma Senana Bayeka. Bode Siga menamo menamo e kailama. Whoa, samame kelema, samame na kelema. Maria sema, samame na kelema kelema. Oh, hey. Ambre se sambo. Wo 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 wo. Ambe la mine. Wo ho. Yema. Yema. Bale 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 kama. Celia Campbell, Valley.
In Jesus' name.
I see many things in the spirit. Hallelujah. 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 This night is a prophetic night. We're going to do a healing night. We're going to do a healing night where you can come with the sick, deaf, blind, and we'll trust God for their healing. But this night is a prophetic night. And I beheld in the spirit, and I saw two angels coming into the hall. And two of them were holding onto an instrument. And this instrument happens to be a lamp. And anytime I see this lamp, it means God is giving someone a revelational gift. Hold your peace. Listen. The person that I speak about, that God is giving a revelational gift, has been in a long battle. Spiritual warfare. You've been praying, you've been active. But the impact of your prayer has not yet alighted upon your battle. And the Lord says the reason why it is like that is because you've been praying amiss. And the reason why he's given you a revelational gift is so that you can be accurate in prosecuting that battle. Calm down. If I've spoken the truth, he will prove it. Father, in the name of Jesus, he said he wanted to give a revelational gift to some individuals in this congregation. Now, from my left-hand side to my right-hand side, I ask that you help me find the people that you are giving this gift. And let your hand descend on them. 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 Holy Ghost! Move! Now, ushers, please help me. I want to prophesy on them. Ushers, help me bring them. I see a garment coming from heaven. There's a garment coming from heaven. And there is a lady in this hall. The Lord calls you a messenger of his presence, that you were called, apprehended to be a carrier of his glory. And at the count of five, the glory of God will come upon you. One, two, three, four, five. Now, ushers, you help me. Oh my God. Sai Kopele. I'm seeing three prophets in the auditorium. Three prophets in the auditorium. And the Lord is releasing some anointing on those prophets. It's releasing some anointing. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. Coming stronger. Coming stronger. Coming stronger. Coming stronger. Holy Ghost!
There's a young man in the hall. That young man I spoke about with an apostolic calling. The hand of God is coming upon you. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. Holy Ghost. I see. Oh, my leko samene, ile me la cambre so malabara. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. There are about 12 ladies in the hall, in the auditorium. And God wants to conscript you into higher levels of the intercessory anointing and ministry. 12 of you. He's conscripting you. He's conscripting you. He's conscripting about 12 ladies. He's conscripting about 12 ladies. And the hand of God will come so strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now listen. 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 If you are a lady here, can you just put your hand on your stomach? That's all. Just put your hand on your stomach. There are 12 of them. Tonight you are being released to do what you were raised to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you touch those 12 ladies from my left hand side to my right hand side to the back of the hall. Touch those ladies. 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 Let your hand come upon 12 of them. Yes, 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 yes. Come on, sick. Now, ushers, can you help me so that I just touch them? Ushers, can you help me? 12 of them. Can you help me? Ushers. Oh, mama. Receive that grace. 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 Ushers, ushers. Ushers. Ushers, ushers. Receive that grace. Receive that grace in the name of Jesus. Receive that grace in the name of Jesus. Ushers. You are conscripted. Let the fire of prayer descend upon you in the name of Jesus. Receive that grace. Receive the grace. Receive the grace. Receive the grace. Receive that grace. Receive the 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 grace in the name of Jesus. Receive the grace. Receive strength to tarry. Strength to wait. Strength to do business with God. Lord, let that grace be poured upon them. Let it be poured. Let it be poured. Let it be poured in the name of Jesus. Oh. Obre seka mahonda. Maiso salamande kombre. Can we raise a cry for the body of Christ in the southwest region? There's something God wants to do in this season in the southwest region.
Are you with me? Take this prayer. Put it in the ear that cannot hear. Put it, close it. Close it, totally. Close it, totally. As I pray for you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I bind all deafening spirits. And I command that deafening spirit in the name of Jesus, be bound. Be bound. Be bound. Be bound. Be bound. And come out in the name of Jesus. I said, come out in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Remove the hand. Take the other one. Block the one that can hear now. If you are standing close to them, help them test the ear. If you are standing close to them, help them test. Help them test quickly. Volunteer to test. Volunteer to test. If the ear can hear, let me see your hand. If the ear can hear, let me see your hand. Okay, one can hear. If the ear can hear, let me see your hand. Two can hear. Three can hear. If the ear can hear, let me see your hand. I don't know if it's tomorrow night. Now, you, come. Yeah, you, come. I don't know if it's tomorrow night or don't hear it. Now, what was your case? What was your condition?
About the ear.
Not me. Okay, it was not you. Yeah, you, come. What was the condition of the ear?
I can hear, I can't hear good with left ear.
Okay, couldn't hear very well with that left ear. So what happened?
It's better now.
It's better. You